Today I'm going to talk about some new approaches that we're developing to characterize mixed iron aluminum nanoparticles, their phase transformation, and the rate of their crystallization from the mixture. Iron and aluminum hydroxides are very abundant in soils. They also major component on some remediation materials, and they also exist in soil migrate in soil profiles as nanoparticles and form coatings on soil grains, and also they exist in extremely high concentration in acid mine waters. So and of course we know that reactivity of these particles greatly depends on surface charge and this on surface area, and the surface area can quite change upon crystallization. So it's basically it's very important to know crystallization pathways of these nanoparticles, and also how it depends on composition of co-precipitates or iron and aluminum ratio in this particles. So I'm focused on iron aluminum hydroxide nanoparticles, and I want to understand crystallization kinetics of these minerals in mixtures. And to do so, I am synthesizing nanoparticles in wild composition range, and I'm trying to quantify a percent of crystalline phases in these mixtures using multivariate curve resolution analysis applied to infrared data. Basically, I synthesize this particle by slow titration of base to pH 5, and then by dialyzing them using 1 nanometer pore dialysis membrane to get excess of the salts. And actually, I want to know here that when I refer in my this first discussion to time zero, it's time after dialysis. Well, and then I age this particle at 50 degrees for up to 54 days, and then I'm measuring the suspensions of these nanoparticles using attenuated total reflectance spectroscopy. And the advantage of this method is that I can just apply suspensions directly without any sample preparation, so without any possible structural changes. But I have to freeze dry this particle to do X-ray diffraction. And actually, X-ray diffraction measurements show that my particle size on average is 40-80 nanometers. Well, this is my XRD data, and I'm showing here two data set, two end member data set, time zero at 25 degree right after synthesis, and also the most aged samples at 54 days. And here there is percent of aluminum in my each of my composition samples, and you can see here that at 25% aluminum and higher, I start getting gibbsite even at time zero, 25 degrees. And at aluminum concentrations less than 20%, I'm forming some pretty amorphous mixtures. As we go with time, of course, I'm starting to form goethite, but as aluminum concentration in samples increase, the gibbsite formation is retarded, hematite forms, and then again some poorly crystalline phase, and then as in case of this data set, I'm forming gibbsite and ferrihydrite. Well, and this is my whole data set. This is aluminum concentration that I have, and this is time from 0 to 54, and you can see here quite a way that at low aluminum concentrations, goethite crystallize with time. So this is area one, and then at intermediate aluminum concentration, I have pretty poorly crystalline mixtures, even after long aging. And at 25% of aluminum and higher, I have gibbsite formation and probably ferrihydrite formation. And X-ray diffraction is very important. It's very valuable when we want to know the composition of our mixtures and to know the crystalline phase. But maybe it's not work very well for quantification purposes, especially in my case when I have co-precipitates with possibly overlapping peaks and a lot of amorphous components. Because XRD actually give information on long range order and works better for crystalline material. And we were thinking that infrared could be very good complementary technique to see the changes in structure on molecule level, because it can show, because it's based on characteristic molecular vibrations. Well, this is my infrared data. Similar to XRT data, I'm showing them at time 0, 25, and at the most H samples at time 54. And this is again percent of aluminum concentration. And similar to XRD, we see formation of characteristic gibbsite peaks at time 0 and at time 54. And also for time 0 data set, we see pretty amorphous signatures at low aluminum concentrations, but we also see gersite characteristic peaks at higher, at H in H samples. So, now we want to develop approach to quantify percent of this gibbsite and graphite in mixture. And and this study was based on the OH stretching frequencies of infrared spectra. And we applying multivariate curve resolution analysis for this data. And now I want to explain what it is. Basically, multivariate curve resolution analysis is used to decompose some pretty complicated spectral data set into several components. So you could describe your whole data set using only these several components. And for the example, I'm showing here experimental data set D, and this is a subset. This is 0% aluminum, and each of this is average spectra, so each data set contains about 30 spectra. And you can see that with time, my spectra features consistently change. Well, then I'm applying principal component analysis to find pure components, extract pure components from this data set, pure S1 and S2. So basically, I found two phases that I can use, in which I can describe my data set. But also, and then applying alternative least square analysis, I can find such concentration of each of my component, so they could describe my each of my spectra in data set. And here is E is residual, so it's variance not explained by C and S. And I have non-negativity constraints for alternative least square analysis, which means that I want my concentrations and adsorption values be larger than zero. Well, and when we apply this approach to the whole data set, we extract three components. Component 1, 2, and 3. And based on XRD signatures and infrared signatures, we assign component 1 as ferrihydrite, or we can call it poorly crystalline iron phase. Also, component 2 is goethite, and component 3 is gibbsite. And this plot shows aluminum percent in co-precipitate on x-axis, and percent of each component in mixture at time 0. So, and as you can see that at low aluminum concentrations, component 1, poorly crystalline component, is dominant up to 90% of the mixture at the expense of goethite, which gradually decrease with increase of aluminum. And also we see that gibbsite, the gibbsite concentration in the mixture increase after 25% and reaches about 70% for iron-free samples at time zero. And for the comparison, I want to show another data set at time 54. And as you can see here, for 54 days, you can see that at N member, iron only and aluminum only, we're reaching about 100% of goethite and gibbsite in mixture. And also, probably it's interesting that with time, the changes in goethite percent in mixture is more pronounced for goethite than for gibbsite. This is another data. Here is percent goethite in mixture with time, and I'm showing here how it depends on composition of depends on aluminum concentration in my nanoparticles. So we see that at 0% aluminum, we have steady increase in concentration, but then at 2% it decreases, and it's really dramatically decreased at 4% of aluminum. And at aluminum concentration 8 and higher, we don't have really much crystallization of gibbsite. And I think that these findings can lead us to some very great environmental applications, because, for example, we know that surface area of goethite and gibbsite, they're pretty different, and of goethite and ferric hydride are pretty different. So if we want to create some material that with high surface area and which can stay in soils for a long time without further crystallization or phase transformation, we can synthesize co-precipitates with aluminum concentration of 12% or 16%, and in such way we can create very good scavenger for trace elements or contaminants like long term. In conclusion, I want to say that I found that for nanoparticles, gibbsite was formed within, I think within several hours after dialysis at 25% and higher, and it's kind of, I think, some interesting findings compared to previous literature that when people study these minerals on macro scale, and I think this is due high reactivity of these nanoparticles. And also that the percent and rate of goethite from mineral mixtures increase with time for 0.2% aluminum in the mixture does not change for 4 to 20% aluminum, or gibbsite does not form at higher aluminum concentrations. And what we think that this multivariate curve resolution is a very promising technique to quantify minerals in such poorly crystalline nanoparticles. And also, our future work will be related. We will try to analyze different. Infrared region of the spectra. And also, I think that this technique, ATR technique, when you don't, when you use colloids as they are for analysis, and you need very small amount of these colloids, and you can quantify them, and this technique will permit a study of natural colloids in soils and acid mine drainage zones. And this is the people I want to acknowledge for helping me with advice. And also XRD measurements were obtained in Brookhaven, and my material was supported by NSF, DOE, and BER. And thank you, and I'm taking questions.
Questions for Tom?
I'm not sure I understood how you assign the particular principal components to either geotide or dihydrate. So how did you decide which component went to which?
Because, for example, I know by XRD, for example, some particular sample, let's say age at 54 days, at 0% aluminum. And XRD showing me that this sample contains goethite. And also infrared feature show me that I have two characteristic gibbsite peaks. So basically I just compare my components that I found by PCA with my with spectra and say, okay, it's look very, very similar, so I think it's goethite. And of course, this analysis can give you some kind of different, maybe not meaningful components, but in this case, you need to vary parameters because you need to get components that you can explain. Yes, I chose two for this data set. Yes, and kind of this is basically when you're doing PCA analysis, you can kind of give hint to the program and say you give the data set metrics and then you give your two for example. I decided this is two. For example, this is feature of goethite. And also, as you can see, as a spectra, you can see that it's probably contained of some amorphous features, combination of amorphous feature and goethite. So I give these two spectra to the program, and then it's try to use these components and give me them back. Sometimes. So I kind of giving some hint where